Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Saints Happy Hour podcast featuring Dave Cariello, Andrew Juge, Ralph Malbro, and when he decides to show up, Kevin Hell. We are the perfect blend of Saint sincerity and stupidity.
So I just gave you what you wanted. I gave you the answer without thinking about it too much. And then we get this from Kevin.
And now, here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, everybody. Welcome to a pre-pandemic Saints Happy Hour podcast. I hope you did all your coronavirus prep today. Stay safe out there, everybody. Wash your hands. Don't cough on anybody unless they're a Falcons fan. Dave, are you ready to survive Coronageddon?
Yeah, I'm totally prepared. I'm totally prepared for the coronavirus.
You sound like you're talking either out of a hole or stuffing your face with Sour Patch Kids.
Wait, I sound weird. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me take. I had to take off my face mask. I'm wearing a face mask to protect myself from coronavirus. let's hurry up and get through this podcast because I'm not really comfortable wearing my mask off for more than like 30 minutes.
Jude, do you have your hand sanitizer handy?
I just filled my bathtub with hand sanitizer, and like every hour, I just go for a dip.
So, you know, we'll get to the Saints news. The only news was Cam Jordan. He played with a torn abductor muscle. Apparently, it was torn off his bone. I was thinking he would be the most likely Saints player to spread the coronavirus. Because if he can play with a torn abductor muscle, Andrew, off the bone, he could have coronavirus. He wouldn't even know it, or he would play through it and infect the whole locker room.
Yeah, that's fair. No, yeah. Look, I don't know. I'm not a doctor. That sounds awful, his injury. And yeah, obviously, he's had surgery now in this offseason to kind of repair that. But he made a statement, actually, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but I don't know if it was a statement or it might have been a tweet. You know, I'd have to go back and look. But he tweeted something like, "Doctor said I'm good to go, and then after the season I need surgery." Like, he said something like that, and it was kind of like almost a thinly veiled shot at the Saints organization, or at least just like, you know, shining a light on the realities of the NFL where medicine is like, you know, they're going to tell you whatever Sean Payton or Mickey Loomis or whatever the Saints brass, they're going to say whatever the Saints brass want you to say, but then they get real once the season's over. So, I mean, obviously it was something he could play with, but
you could play with it. You might die, but you can play with it.
I mean, I would just say I was a little uncomfortable with like him saying that because it's just like, ooh, I hope he's not pissed at the Saints.
Well, I mean, but in being kind of serious, Dave, it does sort of explain his tailing production in December. And especially, I felt like he was going to destroy Minnesota's bad tackles, and he didn't really. But now that I know he had a muscle not connected to his bone, I'm sort of like, yeah, kind of makes sense now.
It's amazing what these guys played.
I'd have to go back and look, but wasn't there a game where he missed a significant amount of playing time? Like, where he was getting subbed out more than usual?
Was it the Colt game? I think it was the Colt game. Might have been.
Well, they said the injury was the 49ers game. The Colts game was after that, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, that could be.
I mean, the sad part is like, yeah, maybe his performance dipped because of this injury, but I think all of us would rather have him playing injured than not playing at all.
Completely.
It says a lot about the depth we have at defensive end.
Well, no, it just says about his it's more about his ability, really. But also too, though, you combined Davenport being hurt, and if Cam Jordan had gone out, like, then you'd have been like, oh shit.
Well, Rankins was out too.
Yeah.
In that game. So yeah, that 49ers game was a very, very expensive loss.
Plus every linebacker they had.
Yeah.
So, you know, besides Cam Jordan being injured, the only other Saints news, and this is kind of a, Andrew, maybe you can help me explain it, is that the CBA, the players and the owners are negotiating. Now, it isn't like they're going to be a lockout this year or even next year, but if the players and the owners don't agree to a new collective bargaining agreement, and I didn't realize this until this past week, it really puts sort of a hammerlock on Loomis Math. Like, he can't do his go-to cap manipulations, avoidable years and extending the contracts out, because you can't do contracts for years of collective bargaining that aren't there or something like that. Since they don't have a collective bargaining agreement into the future, you can't do voidable years, because you can't take a dead cap money hit for years that don't exist or something like that.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, as it stands right now, and I guess it would depend on the CBA if it pushes through. And I mean, we could do a whole podcast on the CBA. In fact, I've been thanks again for your tip on the Mean and Kinds podcast. I recommend you listen to it, the one she does with Dominique Foxworth, if you're interested in kind of the labor negotiations and why it's different from last time. And it's really interesting. I mean, really, for the players, what's not to like? I mean, everything about that deal, it's more revenue, it's more money, especially, you know, when you look at 50% of the league is minimum wage. You know, I know we talk about the Rodgerses and the Russell Wilsons and the Breezes and the Bradys, but you know, 50% of the league is on minimum wage. And those are the guys that this deal affects the most, right? Because it's half the league. But it just comes down to, they're going to get a bunch of stuff and they just have to stomach a 17th game. Now, I say just, but, you know, physically, long-term health, all that stuff, I mean, that's significant for them. And I think the players really don't want to play any more than they already do. I think there's an additional playoff game too, but it's the 17th game.
Well, how do you feel about the 17th game, Dave, and the additional playoff game? I mean, the additional playoff game, it might as well be called the Mediocre Coaches Employment Act, because now you're going to have 8, 8, 9, 7 coaches that would have otherwise got fired. Now they're going to make a playoff game and they're going to get extended for like 2-3 years. Like this would have kept Jim Haslett employed for the Saints like at least 3 more years.
I mean, I'm a fan, so I'm all for more meaningful football. I'm all for maybe one less preseason game, so I'm down for 17.
You guys know what they're going to do about the home and away? Like, one, you just have one more home game?
Well, no. It'll alternate years. 1 year, the AFC teams, they get an extra home game. 1 year, the NFC teams get an extra home game.
Yeah, and so just some other details about that, just so people know, nobody's getting an extra bye, so there's still only going to be one bye, which is, you know, a semi-sticking point for the players. Right. I believe they're also proposing the playoffs move to 14 teams.
Yeah.
Right, and only the top seed gets a bye. So
can I lay down a prediction right now? The Saints are going to be the first team in NFL history to go 14-2 and not get a bye.
Oh, it's happening.
But no, I mean, currently, as far as the CBA is concerned, I mean, Andrew's right. It's all about that 17th game. And so the players are trying to get as much as they can possibly get, particularly in the way of money, if they're going to give up that and play that 17th game. And but I mean, currently they're not that happy, because right now they're talking about in 2020 it being a 53-47 split, owners, players, and then 2021 to 2030. So basically for the length of the next CBA, the owners would get 52 and the players would get 48. Now the players are saying, you know, you've got people like Richard Sherman, Russell Wilson, you know, other players who they want 50-50. I don't know whether that's going to happen or not. And, you know, obviously this is a negotiation, and so they're making themselves known and they're pushing the boundaries as far as they can. So maybe they meet somewhere.
A lot of revenue, though.
Maybe they meet somewhere at 51-49.
It's a big difference from what they were making before.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's still good for them, but it's obvious right now that the players are just trying to get as much as they can for that 17th game. They know the owners want that 17th game. There's no extra buy. So they're just trying to bleed it as much as they can.
Well, it sounds like Michael Thomas saw Tony Romo's salary and immediately said, yeah, this deal's no good for me if Romo's making more than most guys.
I mean, Tony, I mean, he's good. He's a good commentator, but like, do you really give a shit about the commentators for the NFL games? Like if there's a game
on, I can't believe he's making that much.
$17 million
a year.
I don't think commentators, they can take away from the game, but it isn't going to stop you from like watch. If there's a big, huge game on and you're like, oh, it's Packers Saints and there's Chiefs, you know, New England, oh, I'm going to watch the Saints because they have Romo commentating. I don't think it moves the needle like that, but I guess
I don't think people pick a game based on who's calling it. So I agree with you there, but I will say, Tony Romo has obviously been great for just TV and broadcasting, and everyone loves him. And when he calls a game, generally people are excited and they talk about how good he is. And I will say, when I think about how many announcers affect my enjoyment of the game, you know, just off the top of my head, Rondé Barber and Joe Buck are just two guys I cannot stand. I absolutely can't stand listening to them. And they ruin my enjoyment. They really do. And so when you get a guy like Romo, where at least, you know, some may not care, but at least he's neutral. I don't think Romo is really offending a lot of people. And I don't know that it's necessarily making people come back, but if it's providing entertainment and quality of entertainment, then you got a good thing going and you got to keep
it. I think, you know, Dave, Booger McFarland, he's an LSU guy. So I hate to say this, but like I would rather they just pump in like heavy metal music or, you know,
it's one thing, like if you're going to be bad at your job, you have to at least be charming. And like, I feel like Booger, he just doesn't have that charming, personality that
he's
comes
a little
through
pompous
on the screen.
Yeah. He is. He's a little bit. Yeah. He's a little bit. But this
CBA is interesting to me because, you know, I think in the past you had the players' union really kind of have a unified front and say, hey, you know, we need to push this deal through. This
Not
time
now,
it's way – it's 50-50. It's way more split. There's a lot more dissension in the ranks. There's a lot more players that are outspoken saying, I don't want to do this. And I don't know if it's going to pass or not, because it really – I think that the NFL teams – 16 on the player side, 16 approved it, 15 were against it, and one abstained. So it's close. It's like it's 50-50.
Well, the thing that's interesting with the whole collective bargaining is, Dave, the players, there's, you know, back in the old days, the players didn't make as much, but they were like, we need a pension. And we need better health care. And that's easy to say. Those are important things for everybody, all of us. Now, there's like the quarterbacks. There's the minimum wage guys. There's the superstar non-quarterbacks. And there's like the middle class. So like To me, it seems there's nothing that like unifies the union all together, and that must make it really hard as hell to get an agreement that most of you like, because somebody in the union, it seems to me, they're getting fucked in this deal. Like, one group is going to get screwed.
Yeah, but you know, the group of the hardworking minimum wage guys is way larger than the group of high paid superstar guys. And that's I think, and I think those guys have to be taken into account first, because I think they're the majority, and they're really what drive the league and what make the league go.
But
you know, the top guys, you know, they're great. They're the face of the organization, but they're paid very well. And, you know, in the end, they're fine.
But Andrew,
you know what I think's interesting, though, is I am a little surprised that this past CBA obviously largely benefited the quarterbacks. I mean, you look at some of these contracts the quarterbacks are getting, and I mean, number one, it's had a significant impact on teams' cap maneuverability and what they've been able to do. I mean, we've seen these teams now where, you know, Cam Newton gets the huge contract, the Falcons give Matt Ryan the huge contract, and then they stop making the playoffs. You know, so we've seen that happen to a lot of teams. And then we see a lot of teams with quarterbacks on rookie deals make it to the Super Bowl. So your margin for error, you got to be very good at drafting to be successful with a quarterback that carries that much against your cap, a salary that's that high. And so the quarterbacks have really benefited from the new CBA. I'm a little surprised that this time around, the players didn't fight to make that a little bit more equitable. In other words, saying like, that's great that we're going to be making all this money. Let's make sure it's not all going to the quarterback.
All going to the quarterback. No, yeah. It's true. And like, you know, I never thought of it this way, is like, you know, fans and different things are like, oh, the franchise tag is so unfair because it caps what a player can make and it makes their bargaining power less. But players don't view it that way. Players view it as like, a franchise tag is kind of good because it means you can't spend unlimited on a small group of players, and you have to spend that somewhere so everybody else gets the money. But Dave, the one thing that kind of blew my mind on Friday was they said if this deal goes through, the 2021 salary cap might go up by $40 million. That's right, $40 million. It will make salaries go crazy. And I don't know if I'm prepared to live in a world where, like, a backup tight end is making like $9 million a year.
Von Bell and Onyemata are up for like $100 million contracts if that happens.
But seriously, Andrew, like what, like if Traquan Smith, right? Well, it's year three, so that wouldn't be a good measurement. But like Kamara, say like the Saints don't come to an agreement with him, and he like kills it this year. Like if the salary cap goes up $40 million, like, I could see a team paying him 5 years, 110. Like, it wouldn't be totally insane that he makes $20 million. And the thing is, Dave, I'm not ready to like adjust my mind to live in that world where like non-quarterbacks are getting super ridiculous money.
I don't know if it gets spread out that evenly. I think that
the quarterbacks will get it all. We have a $50 million quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, it could very well be where those top guys just make that much more money, and there's still a fairly large gap between the top and the middle and the bottom guys. I don't know if it's I don't think it works out where it's where you know, Tommy Lee Lewis is making $10 million a year. I don't think it works that way.
He's still making minimum wage. Yep.
No, I mean, it. It'll be interesting. And the one thing that you brought up, Andrew, is, you know, we keep waiting for sort of Loomis to do his Loomis math thing. And I mentioned at the beginning that you know, if they don't get a new collective bargaining agreement, the teams will have difficulty signing players. But you made a point of that's why you think teams haven't done anything to try to sign their own guys before free agency starts, because teams aren't going to do anything until they know – we have a new collective bargaining agreement, or we don't. Like teams are waiting for the certainty of whatever the answer is.
Yeah, I actually think this might be one of the most challenging positions Mickey Loomis has ever been in. Now he's fortunate that it's not next year yet, because I think next year it would be even worse, just with the guys that would have contracts expiring. But you know, I think I've just become less concerned, because I feel like Mickey Loomis always finds a way and he's going to do his best. But I mean, if you think about the challenges that are ahead for him, and you know, Breeze has said that he's back and that he's going to come back to the Saints. And it seems like everyone has concluded that's a foregone conclusion. Even everyone in the media, no one's trying to stir up this. Could Breeze actually leave? But as of right now, he's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent. So.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
When you look at what's ahead for Loomis, he's got $8 or $9 million in cap room. Now there's a ton of stuff he can do to give himself some space between Kiko Alonso and, you know, cutting him, and Janoris Jenkins has a contract, so they could get that cap number down significantly. So there's a bunch of things he can do, but right now he doesn't have a quarterback. Teddy's probably going to walk. Drew Brees, they got to figure that out. The Taysom Hill thing is as complicated as it gets.
Loomis even said it during the combine. He's like, how do you do the what's Taysom Hill's market and value? And Loomis is like, I don't know. We're going to find out. And Nick Underhill made an interesting point, Dave, is that it might be easier for the Saints to negotiate Taysom Hill to figure out what he's worth if a team signs him to an offer sheet than if the Saints are just negotiating with Taysom Hill's agent, because – How do you judge Taysom Hill's value, and what kind of contract do you give him?
I could see, you know, if history is any indicator, I think I see a court case in the future. Taysom's going to take the Saints to court because he wants to be paid like a wide receiver. No, he wants to be paid like a quarterback. But
ooh,
the Saints want to pay.
But the Saints want
to pay him as a gunner.
Yeah.
I mean, they can't, if they think he's a quarterback, you can't do that to a guy you think is going to be your future quarterback. I mean, it's one thing to try to do it to a tight end. It's another thing to go asshole to your future quarterback. They couldn't do that.
That's complicated though. No. So I go back to my statement. I really think this is probably the hardest Loomis has ever had it when you consider they don't have a ton of room. The quarterback situation, all three of them are off the books at the same time. That's a mess. And then he doesn't have much room to maneuver, and his favorite trick is not available to him. And they don't even know when free agency hits in less than a few weeks whether it's going to be option A, which is no CBA, or option B, the CBA will be approved, which has enormous repercussions on how they approach the cap. Now, they'll be prepared. I think he knows it'll go one of two ways, and we'll say, all right, if it goes this way, we got to do this. If it goes that way, then we're going to be a little bit more handcuffed and have less options. But I think this is probably, and I'd be interested to hear what Loomis says. My view and my interpretation is that this is as challenging and as tricky as it's probably ever been for him.
I have one counterpoint to this, though, that nobody ever seems to talk about. I haven't heard anybody talk about it. You know, in years past, they have always been handicapped by dead money. They've always been handicapped by, you know, Junior Gallette and then Jairus Byrd. I mean, you know, you go back to 2015, 2016, they had like, well, how much? $10, $15 million in dead cap money.
Junior 1 year pushed it over 20.
So that's an incredible handicap for a team, for a general manager, when you're trying to build your roster, when you've got to waste a huge chunk of change that you can't even use. That money is unusable to you. But this year, this season, going into 2020, they only have one person in dead money, Chris Banjo, $1.2 million. So,
but depending on Breeze. I think AJ Klein is about to be dead money because he had a couple voidable years. And Breeze, depending on what happens with Breeze's contract, that could potentially be a lot of
dead money. Breeze is going to be, I think, about $15 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
60, he's just shy. He's $15.9 million.
But again, that goes back to they're probably going to have to take some of that and absorb some of that loss, because if the CBA doesn't get approved, then they can't do the voidable years. So then they are going to have to eat some of that money. That dead money,
but that's somewhat okay, and they planned for that, and you know, that's for your main position. You know, obviously it's okay to be spending money or even wasting money at that position. It's not like you're paying $10 million for Jairus Byrd. That was just a total fucking
disaster.
I mean, that's frustrating, but to have to pay maybe $6 million in dead money or whatever for Drew, you know, that's tolerable.
Well, the one thing is the collective bargaining, it's going to get settled this week. Like, the players are voting on it, and it isn't going to – it's either – they're either agreeing to it before March 18th or they're not. Like, it's not going to go – they're not starting free agency with this sort of hanging over their head, because teams, I mean, they can't have that. So my thing is, I guess, and I want both of you to answer this. I'll start with you, Andrew. Is if they don't have a collective bargaining agreement and they don't extend it out, do you think it makes it a lot less likely that we're going to see more of their own players exit than we otherwise would have?
I mean, I don't think I wouldn't say players plural, but I could see, you know, hey, we want to keep Von Bell and Onyemata, and maybe they lose one. You know, just because of the way it's set up. I mean, the problem right now is that the Saints don't have a ton of cap. And again, you're dealing with Breeze's issue. You're dealing with Taysom Hill. And those are priorities. Those are priorities. Breeze is the now. Taysom Hill's the future. And if you have to lose Von Bell and Onyemata to figure that out, so be it. So those are the priorities the Saints have to figure out right now. And, you know, Kamara may not want to play. if he doesn't get extended. So that may be another thing that they have to deal with. Now, you don't have to deal with that in free agency, but that does affect your overall cap potentially. So there's a lot of things there. And, yeah, so there may be some guys that they lose, and, you know, they'll have to have a good draft again.
Dave, that's a good segue into our game of stay or go. So I'm going to start with you.
Music. Where's the music? Every game needs music. God damn it, Ralph.
I'll have to go back to
the judge music.
The judge music. Vaughn Bell.
Which is okay, I guess, because we're making snap judgments.
Vaughn Bell on this day, March 1st, staying or going?
I'm gonna say stay.
Andrew, David Onyemata, staying or going? I was having him going, but Sean Payton mentioned him by name, and that sort of changed my opinion.
I actually disagree with Dave. I think Onyemata stays. I think Bell goes.
Ooh. Dave, AJ Klein.
Stays. I want him to stay.
Andrew, Eli Apple.
I think Eli Apple goes.
They traded for him. I think he stays.
Dave, Andres Pete.
Stays.
Ooh, Andrew, we'll discuss that. I want to discuss that for a little bit. If Andres Pete stays and gets over $10 million a year, would be the biggest Saints Twitter freakout we've ever had. I think it would be.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I mean, you can talk me into it because he can be the backup tackle and different things, and he's more valuable, and don't judge him.
But you wouldn't be excited. I could talk you into it, but you would never be excited.
No. I wouldn't be screaming at the top of my lungs like if they signed Joe Thuney to replace Pete. Who else do we have? Who else is free? Who else are free Saints free agents that I need to touch on? Ted Ginn.
Gone.
I think that's
Keith Kirkwood stays.
Oh. we're going down the exclusive rights free agent list.
Oh my god.
Yes.
All right, kill the
jumper stays.
Kill the music, please.
Oh my god.
Stephon Anthony, he's gone.
I forgot.
I don't know.
I
really want to keep Anthony. And the
get
name,
out of here.
And I'm serious because I feel like he's a bust no matter what. Like he was a terrible pick, but I feel like his penance for sucking so bad should be that he has to run on kickoffs and do special teams for the Saints for like two more years. Like it's kind of like the penance that Jarris Bird had with like he had to fair catch punts. It's like, look, if we're paying you all this money, like you may as well go on punt returns and at least call the fair catch so we don't have a fumble.
Did Jarris Bird ever return a punt and not?
I don't think so.
I don't think he did, man. That was our running joke for 2 years that like Sean Payton threatened to kill him if he didn't fair catch it.
Fair catch. Which
is another.
Well, you didn't ask. We didn't do PJ Williams stay or
go. Oh yeah, PJ Williams. Stay or go.
I'll say PJ stays.
Dave.
I say go.
Yeah, I'm gonna say PJ stays. I think his market is just like last year we thought his market was soft because of the DUI, but I don't think it's that. I just think teams look at him and they're like, "Nah, we don't really want to pay you." And so I think there's a good chance that he'll be back. But speaking of Sean Payton potentially killing Jarris Bird, it segues me into a fun story that I wanted to tell that Dave reminded me of when we were having one of our text chats last week. Vince Marinella died, the famous, infamous New Orleans sportscaster for murdering his wife while they were going through a divorce. And it reminded Dave. Dave, you asked me if any of us really knew him.
Drop the, my wife. On
that I don't know that.
My wife.
It would be appropriate in there, but I just did it. So Dave asked if me and Kevin knew him, and I it reminded me of my story with Vince Marinello. And when they got accused of murdering his wife, people were like, "Oh, Vince Marinello, he's so nice. How could he do it?" And I told everybody, I was like, "He did that shit." And here's why: is when I worked at WWL, Vince Marinella used to fill in for Buddy D when Buddy D would go on vacation or got sick or whatever. And one time, Vince was filling in, and Charles Grant was scheduled to be the interview. And, you know, I'm the producer, so I call Charles Grant before he's scheduled to come on. And he sets up, and Vince does the interview. But the thing is, during the interview, Charles Grant is eating.
He's calling a day.
He's eating. He's eating during the interview. Yeah, and Vince looks mad. But during the interview, he asked Charles Grant what he's eating, and Charles Grant's like, chicken wings. And we go into the playoffs. You believe that. And so I was like, oh, okay, Vince, he's not that mad. He just asked him what he's eating. It's fine. And it didn't go well. Like, you could tell Charles Grant wasn't paying attention. Whatever. Like, you work in radio or you do these interviews, Andrew. You know, like, people don't – sometimes they just go badly. People don't pay attention. Whatever. So I was like, okay, whatever. I just, you know – shrugged and whatever, and then it's the interview ends, and Vince Marinella is raging during the commercial break. He's yelling at Charles Grant. He's yelling at me like it's my fault, like I was supposed to tell Charles Grant not to eat during the interview. And when I tell you, I have never been that afraid at work in my entire life. And I was at work during a fucking earthquake in California. Granted, it was a minor earthquake, but still. And here's the thing, though. Vince Marinella, he wore a toupee all the time. So Dave, as he's yelling at me and pointing his finger into my like chest, his toupee is fucking rocking back and forth, and his face is red. It looked like a raccoon trying to eat an apple. And even though I was really, really scared, I also had this uncontrollable urge to laugh. And I'm not saying if I would have laughed, Vince Marinella would have killed me. All I'm saying is when I found out he killed his wife, I was like, he crazy. He did that shit. So there's my Vince Marinella story.
Wow.
He's got like those beady eyes. Those beady eyes.
His eyes are like, it was like beating on my head. And I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm like in mortal danger at work. Like he may murder me in this WWL studio. Like it was terrifying. Like I've never seen a person that mad in a work environment ever. Have either of you ever been like afraid that physical harm could come to you while at work?
In a work environment? No, not really. Not in my environment. But there was one time I was driving to work, like from the bank or something, going down Birth Street, and there was somebody. I learned to drive in New York, so I drive like a typical New Yorker. You take that however you want to take it.
Like an asshole.
you take that however you want to take it. But and Birth Street is just a one-way residential street in uptown by Tulane and Carrollton, whatever. And I think if I remember correctly, there was a guy in front of me and he was just sitting there in the middle of the street and blocking traffic. And I think I honked or whatever. And he pulled into his driveway and he like got out of his car and ran up to my window and is banging on my window. He's like, "You're honking." You know, he just had a total freak out of no, you know, just because I had honked. And I just sat there and just kind of ignored him because I wasn't going to escalate the situation. But I was like, this guy is a psycho. He could potentially kill me.
Andrew, before we get to questions, get out of here.
I can't wait to run into this guy at Walgreens.
I remember, I've never had anything like that at work. I do remember when I was a kid, my uncle took me to the park. And I was probably about my son's age now, so I was like 9 at the time. And this guy like kept coming up and talking to us, and I was kind of getting weird vibes from him. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't know about this guy." And then I see him like pull a gun out of his jacket pocket and like put it into his other pocket in his jacket. And he was like 20 yards away at this point, but I just saw that he was carrying a weapon and he's like at a kid's park, but it was like real coy about it, so no one else saw it. I was like the only person in the park that saw it. I just remember being like, all right, we need to get the fuck out of here. And so I just asked my uncle to take me out, take me home. And but yeah, I'll never forget it, because it was just like, if we had stayed, what was that guy going to do?
That is weird. Was that in America or France?
That was in Paris. That was in France.
Wow.
I thought Europeans were like not violent and didn't have guns.
Well, but that's the thing. So like in France and like in Paris, you don't see guns. You know, you see knives or box cutters. You know, I mean, people rob you at knife point and stuff. But like, it's not like the U.S. where it's just like this big open carry thing. It was very, especially in the 80s, super rare to see a gun. So like it really stood out, and it was like, holy shit.
So before we get out of here, and we just have a couple of viewer questions, I want to remind people, hey, podcast, sign up daily, $7 a month. You get cool freaking swag. And once March 18th hits and free agency has happened, you're going to want this podcast, because we do it every freaking day, and we do breaking news before anybody else. You'll get reaction. So sign up. Start full access. Starts at $7 a month. Do it. Question, Dave. What team do you think is most likely to go after a Saints free agent?
Well, I mean, I think Teddy Bridgewater is the guy that people are going to clamor over. So, I mean, that could be any number of teams. Maybe, I don't know, the Bears or something like that. Would the Bears go after
Teddy?
Are they ready to move on from Trubisky?
Yeah. Jake asks, Pat McAfee introduced the Pelicans tonight. If you introduced Zion, how would you introduce him? Jake, come on.
The Pels got Zion, dude. They got Zion. Oh, I've never been this happy. Oh, this is great. They got Zion.
And oh, by the way, I don't know what it is, Andrew, but Zion brings something out of LeBron, because twice this week, LeBron has just fucking gone off on the Pelicans, and he didn't give a shit about Memphis last night at all.
Did you see before the second half ended when Zion did that dunk and then LeBron took practically a fucking shot from half court and made it?
Yeah.
God damn it.
It was like a fuck you, Zion.
Pels are about to lose this game.
Yeah, they are. So everybody, thanks for joining us in the chat room. We went on short notice. Didn't Vince Marinello use a plastic glasses, nose, fake mustache, and an escape on a bike? Yes, Stephen Juge, he did do all that. Not only that, he had a checklist of what to do to commit the murder that they found in his FEMA trailer, with literal check marks by each one.
Yeah, not on the checklist. Get rid of checklist.
Yeah, get away with it.
poor planning, I'm just saying. So everybody, thanks for joining us. This has been a Sunday night edition. Like I said, most weeks during the off season we will be on Sunday night, except for this coming week, because I'll be in New Orleans celebrating my 44th birthday. Happy birthday to me. So we'll be on next Monday night. But everybody, thanks for joining us tonight. For Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, who's MIA. Until next week, the bar is closed.